Baseball family, welcome to this week's episode where we're going to talk signings, then we're going to get into the Angels Mount Rushmore, and then we're going to talk about who belongs on the Mount Rushmore for the Angels right now.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes, and now, Baseball Together.
Baseball family, welcome to another episode of our Baseball Together podcast. We're super excited to be here, and we're super excited you're here. I'm Brig, and as per the mostest usualist, I got the Bradmaster right here with me. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing well, actually. I'm doing good today. How are you today, Brig?
I am giddy, gleeful, and full of joy. So
good. I'm glad.
None of that was hyperbolic. None. I actually do feel that way today, and that is a wonderful place to be.
That is truly a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, you should try it out. Baseball family, we really are excited you're here. We have a slow week as far as current events go, but we were able to tease some things out of the news cycle for you that have happened in the last couple of days. And we are going to start with the Angels as our theme for this week. Let's jump into Artie Moreno is now suddenly not selling the Angels. They released a statement, and Brad is really excited to have my live reaction. I did not read it prior to, so okay, I'm excited.
Are you ready for this break?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it says, during this process, it became clear that we have unfinished business and we feel we can make a positive impact on the future of the team and fan experience. Hold on. Okay. This offseason, we committed to a franchise record player payroll and still want to accomplish our goal of bringing a World Series championship back to our fans. We are excited about this next chapter of Angels baseball. We are grateful to Galatio, I'm not sure what that is, Sports Partners, for their outstanding efforts throughout the process that allowed us to meet with a number of highly qualified individuals and groups who expressed strong interest in the club. However, as discussions advanced and began to crystallize, we realized our hearts remain with the Angels and we are not ready to part ways with the fans, players, and our employees. Artie Moreno, Angels owner. Now, Brig, what do you think about that?
Okay, I have a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
First, I want to poo-poo the whole, like, we're paying everybody more than we've ever paid them. It's like, yeah, get with the program and catch up to current times. That's part one. Okay. Part two is that it sounds an awful lot like this deal went sideways.
Yeah.
And everybody else pulled out were like, how are we going to save face? Well, we've decided that we no longer want to do this thing.
Yeah. Or my other thought was nobody wanted to pay they were asking, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because they have a big fat contract with Mike Trout that they cannot get out of, who has a back problem.
Ever.
They also have Shohei Ohtani, who is not looking like he's going to come back next year, who I feel like would be a big selling point for any ownership group, but he seems like he wants out of there. So it's like, well, those two, it's kind of like, not a good investment right now. And Rob Manfred did say that it's not a good idea to invest in baseball right now. So
yeah. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, so front office style, like back end ownership talk, when we talk to Samson, he makes it clear every time that Major League Baseball wants to keep teams with their owners in those cities. He doesn't want any of those changes because it will further enable the expansion opportunities with all the different fees and everything that come with that. Relocating is expensive and time consuming and a horrible process. And so what we don't want to do is I'm sure Rob is doing all he can in him and his cohort of owners to dissuade anyone from making any changes in the next 3 to 5 while they try and add a couple of different teams.
Yeah, exactly right. You are spot on with that, Brig. I think you're absolutely right. But yeah, I just thought it was funny the whole time. And he's like, well, I think we should sell. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if now's the time.
Yeah.
Not exactly a seller's market in baseball these days, but
no.
Especially with, like you said, he said himself that they've committed a team record in payroll. Like, yes, okay, inflation, team value. Right. And also, you've got Mike Trout, which is going to help you set a record pretty much anytime, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, now is not the time to sell. Maybe a couple of years, but I could see why he wanted to sell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely makes sense.
No, I just thought it was all so funny. It's like, no, you were not getting what you wanted. And
Sorry,
or
bro.
I think you're right, and they fell apart. It was pretty good.
Let's hope that what happened, that what didn't happen, was that somebody found a skeleton in a closet, and that there was some big ugly secret hiding. Let's hope that is not the case. That there's some PR bomb waiting to go off. Like, we don't need.
I don't know how big of a PR bomb could be festering at Angel Stadium these days because of everything that went on with the Tyler Skaggs incident.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, like, I don't think there's anything more to that because there was a full investigation and people are doing jail time because of that.
I don't think it's the Skaggs thing. I think that I'm just saying, like, I'm just hoping.
You think, like, there might
the cynical
be another,
side of me that there's not something else
buried deep under the concourse?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Mm. That they use to dip their chicken fingers in. Okay. Hot steaming bowl of something nasty. All right, so the D-backs they've made history once again. They've named Ronnie Gajownik. Say that 5 times fast. Ronnie Gajownik.
And I will not.
Thank you. Me neither. She has been named manager of the Hillsboro Hops at high A level. She's the first base coach, used to be the first base coach of the Amarillo Sod Poodles, which is their double A affiliate, the D-backs, back in last year, 22. And this is awesome. This is the first in the franchise history, obviously, but
yeah. I think it's great. It's cool. We're getting more female managers women managers into baseball. And yep. I think we say this every single time. It's great to have another perspective in the game.
Totally is.
It's a big deal. And I think that it should continue to happen because sometimes the best way to fix something is to, I don't want to say break it, but bring in somebody else. And maybe it is breaking it somewhat. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't think adding women to the mix is breaking anything.
I think it's breaking the trend. It's breaking the trend.
There you go. Right? Mm-hmm. Love that. So congratulations to Ronnie. Let's move on. Twins trade Luis Arraez to the Marlins for Pablo Lopez. Yay!
That's such a crazy trade.
And there was more involved in the details, but that was basically
that's
highlight.
The important part of it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So Luis Arraez was the American League batting champion. But then you go with Pablo Lopez. The one thing that's interesting is that Jewel sent this to me that Pablo Lopez, and I believe it was Marco Gonzalez, their last, like since like August, they had identical numbers. He's like, do you realize we get a batting champion for Marco Gonzalez? Sure, what it seems like, isn't it?
Yeah, that does make sense. One of these things is not like the other. So I don't know what happened there and how the Marlins pulled that off, but they seem to have come out the winner in that trade, and it's pretty cool. So the Marlins also have reported that Jazz Chisholm is going to be moving to the outfield.
Yeah, and I think that's fascinating personally because he's an infielder through and through. He's been playing second base for the Marlins, been great there, an all-star, upcoming superstar, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And last time, off the top of my head, I can think of a second baseman who's moved to center field. Like, granted, Mookie Betts has moved to right, right?
Yeah.
And he's been fantastic. So there's that. There's that.
Not unprecedented. Yeah.
And I feel like Jazz Chisholm is probably closer to Mookie Betts than this other comparison I'm going to make. It's actually a player from the Marlins. It was D. Gordon, now D. Strange Gordon. He was playing second base for the Marlins, and when the Mariners traded for him, they wanted to move him to center field because there's I don't know if it's necessarily a belief, but it's kind of a understanding that if you're an athlete, you can play anywhere on a baseball field, right?
Yeah, that's
but I
very
don't
common.
Like that's the case.
I know. We hear it all the time.
Because and I think that they say that center field in the big leagues is one of the hardest places to play because, I mean, first off, it's massive. It's enormous.
It's huge. Yeah.
Right. A lot of stuff that I've read the last year or so, because the Mariners had a rookie center fielder this last year, was that That is by far the hardest position to play in the outfield in the big leagues. It's hard to read the ball coming off the bat because of the grandstand. And in fact, when Julio was told that he was going to be on the opening day roster for the Mariners, Scott Servais said, he said, "Do you think you can play center field in the big leagues?" He goes, "Yeah, because I know there's some people doubting you." He's like, "That's fine." He goes, "Do you think you can do it with a second level on that grandstand?" And I think that's what makes it hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right, is that
you lose the ball.
Grandstand. Yeah. But I mean, we saw D Gordon lose the ball a lot in center field in Seattle. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know though, and maybe that's why Mookie Betts plays right field.
Maybe it is.
Because it's they say as hard as center field.
They always talk about the read and the jump, and you know, getting it right off the bat and seeing it, and being able to anticipate where it's going to be, so that you can get yourself there. And that all of that has got to do with being unable to really track the ball the whole way.
Yeah.
Like even Paul O'Neill, who played right field, right? It's so interesting to hear him talk all the time about, especially Harrison Bader and how successful he's been. And he just applauds Bader constantly.
Bader's a great center fielder.
Yeah, he really is. And to hear a guy who's a terrific historical outfielder just tip his cap over and over and over again to a guy who plays center field, there must be something there.
Yeah. And I played some center field growing up, but I don't think enough on the big field to know, especially, I mean, there definitely wasn't a second level to the grandstand.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I don't know that I have enough experience on that part to be able to speak to it, but yeah, that's there's gotta be too. Something to it because Fernando Tatis couldn't make the transition smooth either.
Mm-mm. No. So, no, but what's interesting is Aaron Judge does move over to center field and actually would prefer to be there.
And maybe guys are natural outfielders.
Right? I don't know. I have no idea.
Not sure.
It's fascinating, though.
We need to get Jim Edmonds back on here to talk about it.
Yeah, he would know. I was just going to say. All right, now listen, Jim.
Let's just talk today about playing center field.
Hang on. We have some questions. Baseball family, if you have questions, let us know. We'll call Jim and see if we can get him back on. If not, we could just Q&A him and see if he'll issue us some answers to our questions. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that would be.
Couple more signings. Out of nowhere, the Royals decided to pick up Aroldis Chapman. I mean, this was literally, I was like, what?
It doesn't I was fit so their, like, I don't know, though. They had, who was it? Who was the dude who was always picking fights with when he's with the Reds? And I think he was with the Royals this last year. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
I don't know. I know what you're saying, but I don't know who it is.
It was Amir Garrett.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he's with the Royals. I'm like, maybe they want like a little bit more attitude.
Maybe.
That's what they're going for.
Like if they could get Yasiel Puig, they probably would. And
maybe that's where
Trevor Bauer signs.
Oh,
are they going to be the Raiders, the 70s and 80s Raiders of Major League Baseball?
That'd be something.
What if they do?
I don't know if they'd win, but
what if they do an entire image shift and they bring back some George Brett style fire and they just, okay. Now that's exciting to think about.
That would be that would be fun too.
Yeah, give us your misfits.
A team that you could really hate for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. No, that'd be like a major league in real life.
It would be, and it's like you're not coming to watch us because we're gonna win. You're gonna come watch because there's gonna be a fight,
and we're fun.
There's gonna be something going on.
We got attitudinal problems.
Yeah, because I don't think there's ever been a baseball team like that, because there was the Bad Boy Pistons. And like you said, the Raiders.
Yeah, and the Raiders.
Hockey teams, I feel like that's just like what hockey is. But Grant, I don't watch hockey. But anyway, I don't feel like there's ever been a baseball team like that.
No, there were just a bunch of baddies that had attitude problems. Probably Ty Cobb. He probably carried enough of that for the whole Tigers team when he was doing it, but that's, I don't know what else to say.
I think that's as close as you get. And that was 100 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. 100 years ago. That's fantastic. All right, moving on. The Mariners, Brad, I want your opinion on this. The Mariners have signed Tommy La Stella. Ready, go.
It's, I don't have a problem with it. It's fine. I think he's a, this is the thing, is that when he was in Anaheim, when he's playing for the Angels, he was a starting second baseman,
yeah,
I believe is where he was playing. If you have Tommy La Stella coming off the bench for you, you've got a pretty good situation ahead of him. And that's the way I see it, is that I look at him as a serviceable backup, a guy who can step in and fill the gap as needed, but yeah. I do not want him as a starter, and he's not going to be.
That's what I was asking. Yeah, I wanted to know, if, like, is this a pinch hit, pinch run situation? Is he even an effective pinch runner?
I don't think so. Maybe he would be a pinch hitter just to, like, on, like, a Thursday night to get in there and get some reps, you know? Yeah.
Can he drag a bunt? Do we even know these answers?
Can anybody drag a bunt these days?
Yeah, Kyle Schwarber.
No, I was most excited about this, though, because I was like, now we can get my daughter Stella a Scherzi.
Yeah.
Gotta make it happen now.
Finally, right?
Yes. Yep. That's awesome. What I'm most excited about with Tommy La Stella coming to Seattle. Mm-hmm.
And it'll on the back of Stella's t-shirt, it'll stay the Stella. And that's
exactly
just, that's yep. Unbelievable. Adam Duvall signs with the Red Sox, 1 year, $7 million. Nobody cares. Moving on. just kidding. Do you care? I actually don't think this is news. Really,
I thought it was interesting. Why?
Why?
I don't know, Brig. Probably because he was part of the World Series Braves team a couple years ago, and right. He was one of the guys who was like a significant piece. And now the Red Sox. Okay, so you've talked about how Brian Cashman likes to collect baseball cards.
Totally.
I think the Red Sox have started to take that same approach. Okay. Because they're just like, this guy was on a winning team. This guy was on a winning team. This guy was good over here. Like, just bringing all these guys in. Like, I saw that Tapia, he played for the Blue Jays last year. He just signed a minor league deal with them today, which I think is interesting. It's a minor league deal.
And this one's 1 year. I'm like,
yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know what Heim Bloom is doing over there.
Well done, Brad.
Oh, weird.
Congratulations on that pronunciation. That was fantastic. Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
this one, though, is really interesting. Nelson Cruz has signed with the Padres on a 1 year deal, $1 million. That cat is 42 years old and still pulling the ball. It's so fun because what did he bat? 239 last year?
234. He led the team 234? With 6 RBIs, which
is like, what?
I think it says a lot about the Nats, though. The Walgreens Nationals last year.
Yeah, but it's leading
the team with 64 ribbies.
Okay, yeah. That's true. The leading the team stats, but he's still batted 234 against the rest of the league's pitching.
Right.
So, and in these past couple of years where batting average has just been historically low, I feel like it's just not that bad an average. It's a serviceable performance. Out. Yeah. What did he hit?
That's what they're going to pay him to do.
What did he hit? 20-something home runs last year?
I'll look. I'll check 15 real or 20. Quick. Why don't you tell us about the rest of Nelly Cruz and filibuster while I look this up?
Okay.
Because there's some interesting information that Brig found out while we're looking
at this. Yeah. The cool thing, we're glad he continues to play baseball and represent the old fogies that can somehow still do it. It's awesome. And the Universal DH is a great reason to celebrate for Nelly Cruz, but he's been named the general manager of the Dominican Republic team for this year's World Baseball Classic. It's super exciting because it's the first time a player has ever been named the general manager of a World Baseball Classic team while being an active player in Major League Baseball. Boom.
That's awesome.
So okay, cool.
Nelson Cruz hit. So first off, he played in 124 games last year. Okay. Give me the over under. What do you think? Over under 16 home runs last year.
I think 124 games. Over.
Under.
Was it 15?
10.
Oh!
10 home runs. I chose 16 because it felt like a reasonable number, but
that was reasonable. He hit
10 home runs last year.
Well, especially when I came in hot at 20.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You have double the home runs.
And he slugged 337. He hit 234 and slugged 337. 651 OPS. There you go.
What's his on-base percentage?
313.
Okay. Interesting. He's a strikeout guy. That's great.
Big time. 119 strikeouts.
There you go.
49 walks was all. No. Mm. Yeah, 49 walks.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, though? He was never caught stealing.
I'll take it. There you go.
He's 4 for 4 on stolen bases.
Big time leadership, though. I mean, he's
yeah, big time.
I've never heard any clubhouse issues with him. Have you?
Other than a steroid getting popped for roids with the Orioles. Yeah. But even then, though, like, nobody has a problem with him.
It's odd, isn't it?
Like, everybody loves that guy. Like, when he was in Seattle, everybody loved him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big time clubhouse guy.
Super interesting. Sure. Okay. Last couple of things is Mike Trout says his back is pain free. Big old fat air quotes on that. I don't know anybody who sustained a back injury and has reported being pain free ever in its wake, but I'm really excited about the possibility. Like, if it's true, this could be amazing.
Well, and this is my thing is he says that he's been pain free for 4 months. He said that he had some pain when he first came back off the IL.
Sure, of course.
Right. But let's see. We're in January.
Yeah.
December, November, October. So he says he's been pain-free since September. Was that the end of September? Because we're at the end of January.
Let's go ahead and give him
that. They stopped playing the beginning of October. And when exactly did Mike Trout stop playing during the season?
May.
Well, no, because he came. What I'm saying is that he came back and he said it bothered him. So then did he stop playing the end of September? Did he not play in October? And then he's like, my back feels fine now. It's like, your back feels fine because you're not playing baseball. Like, maybe you're lifting some weights. Maybe you're throwing, you're doing some hitting. But you're not going through the everyday rigors of baseball right now.
Right. That's why I'm not buying it.
Me neither.
I'm not buying the pain-free thing. Now, if he were to say, it hurts, but I'm good, that's different.
That is different.
Don't sugarcoat it, right? Don't try and sell me a pile because I know it's a pile, all right? But if you want to be a hero, that's fine, but be an honest hero. That's all I'm asking you to do. Don't lie to me and tell me it doesn't hurt because that's not true. But say, yes, I still got some stuff I'm dealing with. I'm working on it, and also I'm here to play. There you go.
I'll be ready at spring training.
Yeah, that's all you got to say, man. Don't have to sugarcoat it for us. Anyway, we'll see how that turns out. Let me be absolutely clear. We wish Mike Trout nothing but the best. I just want to just shoot it straight. That's all I'm asking. Okay,
for sure.
Last thing before we take a break, and we're going to get more into the Angels, is spring training is 24 days away, ladies and gentlemen. 24 days. Oh!
So excited. Brig, you're going to be here in like 6 weeks.
I know. So pumped, man.
For the World Baseball Classic. Oh, my
God. Yeah. Can't even wait. I already got my plane tickets. It is happening.
It is happening. We're very excited.
All right, baseball family, take a quick break. Yeah, and we'll come back. We're going to talk about the Angels, Mount Rushmore.
Welcome back, baseball family. So like Brig teased us with, we're talking about the Angels. At one point known as the California Angels, also known as the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah.
Currently known, and also at one point known as the LA Angels of Anaheim. Currently have the LA Angels. Man, it's such a mouthful. I don't know why it's so hard.
Incredibly
because
hard.
Anaheim Angels flows, and that's the way it should be. But anyway, Brig, do you want to tell us about the history of these Angels?
Yeah. So it was a franchise option in 1961 is when they came into the league. So they have not been around very long. It's 62 years total as of right now. In that time, they have a win-loss percentage, 4,885 wins, 4,927 losses, putting them at a 498 win-loss percentage. They've had 10 playoff appearances, one pennant, one World Series victory. That was 2002. And we are going to talk about the people we think deserve to be on the all-time Angels ever list, ever, of all the evers.
Okay, before we do that, Brig, though, I have the origin of the team, of the team name.
Okay.
Okay, so this is from teamnameorigin.com. I'm just going to read it to you because it's, I don't know. Anyway, The Los Angeles was awarded an American League franchise in 1961. Gene Autry bought the rights to the new team, as well as the Angels name, which was previously owned by Walter O'Malley, a previous Dodger owner.
Ooh.
Why Walt had the rights to the Angels name is beyond me, but why not, I guess. I'm sure Gene paid a pretty penny for it. And that's the thing that's always been interesting to me, is like, why not name a team the Angels in Southern California?
Yeah.
Because totally. For those of you who don't speak Spanish at all, Los Angeles means the Angels. So it said the team started as, and this is something that I've always thought was interesting and a little bit more relevant for what we have today with the team name. The team started as the Los Angeles Angels.
Ah, correct.
But they quickly changed to the California Angels when they moved to Anaheim in 1966. So that was just, 5 years as the LA Angels. Once the Walt Disney Company took ownership in 1996, they changed the Anaheim Angels. And then there's a new ownership group currently with Artie Moreno in 2005, again changed to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, as we've talked about before, again, because it's all ridiculous, only to tap into the LA market. So
that's it.
Their lease with the city of Anaheim at the time binded them to having the city name in their name, hence the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And the cooler head, and then it says cooler heads prevailed in 2015, which allowed them to drop the Anaheim part so they could simply be known as the Los Angeles Angels. And there was much rejoicing. Those are not my words. That's what it says on the page.
It says that on the page. I thought I was you.
The world and needs you to take credit the world for that. Again, is what it says.
Oh, that was great.
So good. All right, Brig, go ahead and lead us off. With your first guy.
Hey, all right, I'm gonna lead us off. My first guy that I think deserves to be on the Angels Mount Rushmore list has a career WAR of 82.4. He's been a 3-time MVP, 10-time All-Star, 2-time All-Star MVP. He's won a defensive title and a Defensive Player of the Year award, Rookie of the Year, 9 Silver Sluggers. He has been the Major League Player of the Year as well. He throws right. He bats right. He's 6'2", 235 pounds, and is the current center fielder for the Anaheim Angels, Mike Trout.
I have Mike Trout on my list as well.
Yeah. Let's get it most out of the definitely. Way, I say.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And I don't think there's anybody really in the history of the franchise who's more deserving than Mike Trout.
Zero. There are zero people more deserving than Mike Trout.
Especially since he's going to finish his career there. I don't know that he necessarily deserves to be middle with his face prominent, because I have somebody who deserves that spot instead.
Okay.
But, and you know, if Mike Trout makes it to the World Series, he doesn't have to win it. He just has to make it to the World Series, because the franchise only has one appearance. Yes, they won then.
Yeah.
But if he gets the team another World Series appearance.
Yeah.
Lights out.
100% lights out. He spent 12 years with the organization. That's his entire career. He's been there. He's going to finish it out there, which was, I know, it's a difficult financial position for the franchise, but it's a terrific branding and marketing perspective or approach. The problem is he needs an image coach. He needs a PR support team or something. He released something the other day. I sent it to Brad. And I was
there was doing a giveaway, right?
Yeah, and you could tell he was reading it, and that was all the life he brought to the party. And the rest of it was just so dull and boring. And I thought, Mike, you could be so much Mike. And I get it. He doesn't want to be. Clearly, he's had opportunities. He's made it very clear through apathy, if nothing else, that he doesn't want to be the head honcho, king poo, face of everything. Well, fine. He doesn't have to be. I'm just saying he could be.
And this is one thing that I've thought about too, is that like, maybe Major League Baseball is like, he doesn't want to talk. He's not necessarily great at public speaking. We don't want him to. You can put him in front of a camera. He never has to speak a word.
It's true.
Because he is so recognizable among baseball fans, and just having him be recognizable among non-baseball fans would be an absolute game changer, because absolutely. Non-baseball fans have no idea who Mike Trout is.
But everybody knows who Aaron Judge is, just by contrast.
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani,
and I'm sure Trout's
fine with Tatis Jr. But you know,
yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, I maintain Major League Baseball is missing out on a massive opportunity by working with PlayStation to paint Mike Trout with white paint with red stripes and calling him the God of War.
100%
has been for a very long time.
But yeah, you've been making that point for years. With like an 82.4 career WAR, are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying, man.
It's insane. And I know WAR isn't everything, but my goodness, does it go a long way in explaining, you know, telling the whole story. So
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
All right, Brad, I feel like we crossed over on that one.
My last thing with Mike Trout, I feel like he is like the poster child of WAR.
For sure.
But he's like the reason that stat is popular and mainstreamed and people understand what it means. Like, just look at Mike Trout. That's like the definition of WAR. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that he's a problem.
Yeah, he's a problem. That's and when he's not there, that's a problem.
Exactly.
Either way, it's a problem.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I will go with my – so Mike Trout was going to be one of my first two. I'll go with my other one that I was going to do in this part of the segment. This guy was born in the Dominican Republic, February the 9th, 1975. That's why Mel and I were actually married on February 9th, because this is her favorite player.
Oh, I know who it is. Yeah, that's I thought so.
He was born on February 9th, but that's not why we were married that day. But anyway, this is Vladimir Guerrero.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, MVP, 9-time All-Star, Home Run Derby champion, 8-time Silver Slugger. Vlad Guerrero goes down in history as the best bad ball hitter to ever play baseball.
Oh, that's the truth.
The dude was hitting curveballs that were bouncing off the ground in front of home plate. Like, you don't see it.
Yeah.
You don't see it. Ichiro was a great hitter. Great hitter. One of the greatest all time. But he could not hit bad balls the way that Vlad could because he was leaning out of the box as a lefty.
Yeah.
But man, Vlad stuck in there and he was dead. He was committed to those pitches and he could make the adjustments.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that's the part that he gets the credit for, is being able to adjust that quick, his body and his swing, and still put solid contact in the ball. Come on now.
True, man. Unreal. It's true. That's a good point. And when you look at his swing and his stance, it's just beautiful. You can tell with his elbows up so high that he's just waiting to scoop up anything. He looks like a vacuum. His position, he's just great. Anyway, and he does. He hit everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was one of those guys who, I mean, speaking of being a problem, he's one of those guys you knew every time he came up to the plate, it was going to be a problem for you, especially late in the game. That as a Mariners fan watching him with the Angels, it's just like, dude, just like, can you like not for once?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So... yeah, he's gonna go down as an all-time Angel, and I feel like he definitely deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore there.
I think you're right. I like that pick. How many do you have left?
I have two more.
Okay, I have three. So let me go one more time, and then we'll
go ahead.
Okay, all right. My next guy did not spend his entire career in Anaheim. Okay, that's my first caveat, because I really like doing that if I can, but I just can't with the. Just not enough.
What?
Nobody stayed in Anaheim.
That's what I didn't say. That nobody had very long careers. Or like Vlad was there for like 8 years, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. This guy was there for. Let me count. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 years in Anaheim as well. Anyway, career WAR 81.3, my friend. 81.3. Also a massive problem. 8-time All Star. 2-time ERA title, 1969 World Series, but not with the Angels. He is in the Hall of Fame. He earned the nickname the Ryan Express in an Angels hat. I got to give it to Nolan Ryan. I have to.
I feel like it's valid, too. Because there were two teams that he had the most success with. It was the Angels and I believe the Astros, right?
Yeah.
The other team that he had much of his success with.
Yeah.
So I think it makes absolute sense. I didn't include Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
But I think mostly just because I feel like he deserves to be on the Astros Mount Rushmore more than he would be on the Angels or even the Rangers.
I was going to say the Rangers as well. But I think I put him on both of those Mount Rushmores already anyway. He's going up on three for me. Sorry. Nolan Ryan. I'm a huge Nolan Ryan junkie. For those of you that don't know about Pop Fly Pop Shop, I will show you after the break. I'll pull it out and I'll show you exactly what it is. The Ryan Express is a big deal for me. He was a five-time All-Star in Anaheim, and it was in Cy Young voting the whole time he was there, and just terrific. We couldn't say enough good things about Nolan Ryan. I shouldn't have to. If you don't know who Nolan Ryan is before now, so if you're new to baseball or new to the history of baseball, then you really need to go look up Nolan Ryan and his career statistics to understand how dominant he was compared to not only his contemporaries, but absolutely blowing current pitching out of the water in just about every statistical category. So it's really, he's an important character to note.
So here's a couple of interesting things with Nolan Ryan. He holds the record for the lowest hits per nine ever over his career, 6.6 hits per nine, which is enormous because he threw so many no hitters that that's why he's there. But it is, I've always thought it's interesting. He never won a Cy Young award.
Right.
Right.
Bonkers.
But then he's also kind of like got a Cy Young thing going here, right? Cy Young is known as the winningest pitcher ever. He's got more wins than everybody, but he's also got more losses than anybody.
Correct.
Nolan Ryan, a true to power pitching form, has more strikeouts than anybody in the history of baseball, 5,714, but he's also got more walks than anybody, 2,795. Kind of a Jekyll and Hyde thing, but also, like I said, the power pitching thing, that there was a while in his career where he really struggled with his control. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years where he led the league in both strikeouts and walks.
Yeah, right, exactly. But he also, he has a career ERA of 3.19, which is admirable over the career of 27 years.
That's the thing that's craziest to me.
It's not like he had a 3.19 over 12, right, which would be normal, right? For those of you trying to calibrate that at home, a 12-year career would be reasonable in today's age. He pitched for 27 years.
Yeah.
Like, and he has a career war or ERA, I remember, 3.19.
When I found out that he was a rookie in 1966 and I got to watch him as a kid in the 90s, yeah, like that blew my mind. It's like, wait, what? I couldn't wrap Nolan my Ryan, head around it.
Nolan Ryan threw 4 no-hitters in the Angels uniform.
Just for the Angels.
Just for the Angels.
Yeah. Yep.
4. Okay. Put him on the mountain, Brad. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Brad's going to tell us more about his opinions. Welcome back, baseball family. We're talking about the Angels' Mount Rushmore. For those of you Angels fans out there, we really need to know, are we way off the mark here, or do you agree with us? Because we're pretty sure we're right. But we have a mailbag where you can come at us if you want to. You can. It happens all the time. You can also drop stuff in the description or in the comments box on YouTube if you're watching here, or on Instagram or whatever, TikTok, wherever you find us, and let us know what you think for the Angels Mount Rushmore. But so I'm going to go first, or Brad's going to go first, and then I'm going to do 2, unless we overlap somehow, which is entirely possible. And then Brad wants to go last. So we've kind of switched up the back and forth on us a little bit. Brad has a special request. He wants to be the one to go last. So go ahead, Brad. Give me one of yours, and let's see if we overlap.
Okay. So I have 2 left. My first one might be somewhat controversial. I don't know. But this is a player who has only been in the league for but a few years. And you knew, yes, I was going here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, he's got 5 years under his belt, but he's already got an MVP, Rookie of the Year, 2-time All-Star, Silver Slugger, Major League Player of the Year, Shohei Ohtani. I don't know how you can't, like, he could leave after this year and he would still belong on the Angels Mount Rushmore because of what he did in an Angels uniform to make them nationally relevant when their best player and one of the best players in the league, like we talked about, was not marketable.
Absolutely.
And everybody knows who Shohei Ohtani is because everything he's doing, the only benchmark we have for it was Babe Ruth, and he's doing it better.
He is doing it better. He has a career war of 24.8, already just in a handful of years. Mm-hmm. He has led the league in all sorts of statistics as a pitcher and at the plate. And doing both of those together is just unprecedented, which is why I also put him on my list, Mr. Brad.
Very good. Excellent. As he should be. And the thing that's funny is, like, we can't talk about him for very long just because he hasn't had that long of a career yet. But every time he steps out on the field, there's a chance for history to be made. I mean, there's always a chance for history to be made. But it's literally like nobody has ever done what he has done before. Nobody has ever struck out 16 batters and hit 3 home runs in a game. But I'm sure that Shohei Ohtani is going to do it.
Oh, yeah. If anybody, right? He's the only one that could.
he's the only one who could do it. But I think he's going to do it at some point.
I agree. Okay, since we agreed on that one, and since I had 2 slots left, I'm going to go ahead and throw my honorable mention out here before I do my official 4th pick. Is that cool?
That's cool. Go ahead.
Okay, my honorable mention edged out narrowly by a couple of these other names, but my honorable mention was also a rookie of the year, also spent 12 years or 14 years in the league entirely in an Angels uniform. 2002 World Series. He led the team to the 2002 World Series, and that is an enormous part of why he gets as much consideration. Career WAR 40.5, right field, Tim Salmon. Tim Salmon is, honestly, if it wasn't for Shohei Ohtani, he would be easily on this list.
Yeah. So he was one of my honorable mentions. He was like my 6th guy. But for for me, though, it was like I said before, I was a big Tim Salmon fan. I wasn't an Angels fan, but I liked Tim Salmon because I was familiar with him. And there are guys who you associate with different uniforms. He's the one I associate with the Angels, at least until recently, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's solid. I think it's a solid honorable mention, Brig.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. Okay. I forget that I get to go again. This is so fun. My next guy also has spent 19 years in an Angels uniform.
As a manager.
Yeah.
Oh, what a guess.
Yeah. How did you get there? Wow.
Can't think of anybody else who's been with that team for that long.
Exactly. World Series manager, 2-time manager of the year. He brought them their pennant that they have, and it's Mike Scioscia. You just can't talk about the Angels' history without talking about him. He began his managerial career in Anaheim in the year 2000. He was relieved of his position in 2018 at the end of that season. Was midway through the season or at the end of that season? I don't remember. I think it was at the end because they won and lost 80 and 82 games. So
yeah, it was the end of the season.
Anyway, he is not only the longest tenured manager in the history, but he's obviously the winningest manager. His personal win-loss percentage is 536 overall, and a team that has a below 500 win-loss percentage overall. That is a big part of why he belongs on this list. You can't talk about the Angels' history without talking about Mike. You just can't.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. And the whole time he was there, the Angels were – well, I don't want to say the whole time because those last couple of years kind of got brutal. But for most of the time, the Angels were a formidable contender in the AL West. He kept them competitive – for just about the entire time he was there, even though like they obviously peaked in year 3, they were a problem for the AL West for most of the time he was there.
They had a below 500 record with him there. 1, 2, 3, barely 4, 5, 6, 7 times if you count the last 3 seasons that were pretty rough, which we've talked about. But out of 19 years, barely two. Yeah, out of 19 years, he was at or around 500 or above or at 500. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he was another fixture for my wife with the Angels. She's like, I love Papa Scioscia.
Yeah.
She loved Mike Scioscia so much.
Rightly so. Yeah. Brought the team any winning hopes at all.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think he deserves to be off to the right or left-hand side of the Mount Rushmore. Anyway.
Excellent.
All right, Brad. The world awaits, my friend. Which controversial pick are you going to swing at us?
All right. So this thing has been around for a long time. Okay. Iconic around the league, the nation. Okay. Taking the whole thing by storm, made its first appearance in the 2002 World Series run.
Okay.
I submit that the World Series MVP of 2002 was not Troy Gloss, but instead was my fourth nomination for the Mount Rushmore for the Angels. It's the Rally Monkey. The Angels would not have won the World Series if it was not for the Rally Monkey. The Rally Monkey persists 20 years later. And Brig, you can buy a Rally Monkey, I know for sure, at every Cactus League team store. At least you could 2 years ago when we bought one.
Oh no.
Because Wilson had to have it. Had to have the Rally Monkey. I was like, it's fine. We'll get one. But for a while, you saw Rally Monkeys all over the entire league with every uniform on. And it started in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And they still play the Rally Monkey on the Jumbotron in Anaheim.
Bro, you're right. I did not see that coming. That was wholly unexpected.
And you were like, you were waiting. Like leaning into the screen on that one.
I was like, don't say the bullpen cart or something dumb. And then you did. I was imagining a bullpen cart with the baseball bats holding up the half shell. Like, I was like, how are you going to carve that into the mountainside?
No, Rally Monkey. The Rally Monkey way is my better. Fourth spot.
It's way better.
And I actually feel like the Rally Monkey deserves to be middle and prominent. Because if it had not been for the Rally Monkey, the Angels don't have a World Series title. They're 0-1 in the World Series. Instead, they're 1-0 in the World Series.
Oh my gosh. Dude, that is so good. You're welcome. Well, okay. Okay, baseball family, tell us what you think about the Rally Monkey. You can drop it in the comments. You could hit us up on the mailbag at baseballtogether.com. And don't forget, February 1st is the last day that you can jump on the shop at 9plusus.com. And that is mere days away, talking 7 of them. Well, 6 now. So don't screw this up. If you want to go buy something, go do it now. Chances are running away fast. As fast as the Rally Monkey thought. We thought the Rally Monkey would run
away. The Rally Monkey persists.
But our shop does not.
That's right. It'll be remodeled. It'll be back in a different form. But for now, sure, it's going away. But in the meantime, Brig, if you don't hop on the shop in time, there is a link to Fanatics. We are officially an affiliate partner with Fanatics, and we are very happy to be. So you can hop, you can hit the link down in the description, buy anything on the store, and it helps out the podcast. So you can get yourself a Diamondbacks hat. You can get an Expos hat like what Brig has.
Yeah, for sure.
Fantastical. Boom. Amazing. Or just go buy your own team stuff. Get ready for spring training. Get ready for the season, whatever it is. Just make sure you go through that link and you will support the show so very much. We appreciate your support, all that you. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review. Drop us a comment on YouTube. Give us a sub so you don't miss anything. And baseball family, thank you so much for joining us. We will catch you next week.